Psalm 138, verse 2, I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name because of your love and faithfulness. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good to see all of you. A beautiful fall day today. One of my favorite seasons. I love the fall and the cooler weather. So it's kind of nice. And it's always... means baseball playoffs, so it's a very exciting time of year. So we're all sitting on the edge of our seat to see who's going to come up with the National League Central, right? So, and you're shaking your head going, what are you talking about? So anyway, and you know what? You can call it football, but it's not a ball if it's not round. So don't even start that argument. We have been, for the last 3 weeks, discussing a particular event in our Bible history. We've been in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. And we've been talking about David's commitment to honor God in response to the blessings that God has given to David. And you'll remember that chapter starts off where David has found a time of peace in his life. Nobody's trying to kill him at this particular moment, and it's particularly a good time to be the king and to govern. And he says to Nathan, his confidant, he says, you know, I've got it really good here, and I haven't been honoring God. He says in that opening part of chapter 7, he says, I live in this grand, great, big, beautiful house of cedar, and God is outside. The tabernacle of God is out in a tent. And he realizes he's got to start honoring God. And we're looking at the things that are going on here at Bread of Life and taking that message from David and embracing it for us today. We want to honor God as David wanted to honor God, and we realize that we are in God's house. This is God's house. It's Bread of Life, Charismatic Episcopal Church. It is our small corner of the kingdom, our temple, if you will. That was pretty much part one. In part two, we looked at the person of David and discovered that David was a faithful sinner. Not faithful to sin, but faithful to God and he himself being a sinner. We looked at David as being a regular person like you and like me. And actually, David's sins kind of go past what a lot of our sins are, probably, when we look at the magnitude of what David did. But we realize that David himself, this lowly shepherd boy called by God, remained faithful to God, but that he sinned, that he made mistakes, and some pretty big ones. But yet returned to the Lord and in repentance asked God's forgiveness. And then we saw Nathan in part three, this trusted counselor, this man who served the temple and who served the king and who had this relationship with God and took things to God in prayer and then heard from God and then brought it to David. That he heard God's word and God's plan and shared it with the king. Nathan hears the word of God and delivers a message to David that we discovered still applies to us today. The message that Nathan gave is there. I called you, I defended you, I will provide for you, I will bless you. And the same message that Nathan gives to David is the message he gives to us. I called you, I defended you, I will provide for you, and I will bless you. God has a plan for us at this place. As we take this message to the life and witness of Bread of Life in 2013, believe it or not, it's relevant to us today that God has placed a call upon this Christian community, upon this family. And God says, I defended you, bread of life. And I think that's evident by the fact that the part you're sitting in over there dates back to 1887, and it's still there. Could have been gone a long time ago. The part I'm in is in the 1980s. The part underneath down here, there's a 1930s section. You know, they really went to town on this place over the years. But time and time again, God has defended the life and witness of this place. And God says, I will provide for you. And I'm sure that if we were to dig up the pastors of the past and be able to interview them, that's quite an image to present to all of you, isn't it? So, The Walking Dead is going to start here in October again, so maybe that's what I'm... But I bet we'd hear stories of some very lean times over the years. Certainly times of blessing and times of prosperity. But I would think that we would hear times when the people that worshipped in this place had no place else to turn but to God, and that God provided for them. And then we're going to hear how God blessed them if we were to dig them up and interview them. Once you start an image, you got to follow it through, right? That's how that works. That's just good Englishization. Englishianizing, whatever you want to call that. The same message is given to us today as a congregation. God says, I called you, I defended you, I will provide for you, I will bless you. And we're taking that to the life and witness of this place. And we've talked about a number of paths that we could have taken over the years. And boy, you know, we can show you papers. Father Chris and I would meet and we've got all this stuff laid out. We have a plan on paper. And that's been in the circular file for a long time. But you know what's consistent with every plan put on paper and everything investigated is the vision of proclaiming the gospel to the least, the lost, and the lonely, to people that have not heard the saving message of Jesus Christ. I think that's what you'll find consistent with every plan ever put on paper for this or any other congregation that's walking in the truth of the gospel. That's why we have said, if God wants us to be in this place, then we will serve in this place. If God is calling us to be someplace else, this is just a place. And we will go where God calls us to serve. Well, as the councils of this church, the clergy council and the parish council, and through divine providence and through the hand of God and a couple of storms that He sent our way, we have discerned a path. We believe we know what God's calling us to do. And we want to move forward in response, in a faithful response to the call that God has placed upon us. What I want to share with you, because we've looked at this conversation and this prophecy from Nathan to David, and we've looked at 2 Samuel for this amount of time now, but we need to go into the rest of the story. We need to hear what happens. And so I'm going to read a passage to you today. It's in 1 Kings chapter 8. Because I want you to hear what happens at the end as a result of David's faithfulness and then passing that along to his son. 1 Kings chapter 8. Well, actually, it says 18 on the board. We're going to add 17. We're going to start at verse 17. This is King Solomon speaking. He says, 1 Kings 8:17. Now it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to David my father, whereas it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the house, but your son, who shall be born to you, shall build the house for my name. Now the Lord fulfilled his promise which he made. For I have risen in the place of David my father and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. And there I have provided a place for the ark in which is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. He was charismatic like we are. And said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to thy servants who walk before thee with all their heart, who hast kept with thy servant David my father what thou didst declare to him. Yea, thou didst speak with thy mouth, and with thy hand hast fulfilled it this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father what thou hast promised him, saying, there shall never fail you a man before me to sit upon the throne of Israel. If only your sons take heed to walk their way, to walk before me as you have walked before me. Now therefore, O God of Israel, let thy word be confirmed, which thou hast spoken to thy servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? Yet have regard to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, hearkening to the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prays before thee this day, that thy eyes may be open night and day toward this house, the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken to the prayer which thy servant offers toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel when they pray toward this place. Yea, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. Solomon's prayer to God after he fulfills the promise made by David his father and then continued by him that they would build God's house. It's quite a powerful passage of Scripture, because what it does a couple of things. Solomon, David's son, builds the house of God, honoring his father's commitment and the word that God spoke to him. He doesn't ever give up on God's promise. He never gives up on God's promise. And Solomon understands that the house of God is holy, and yet God is bigger and extends far beyond the walls of the temple that they just built. And that's a critical piece to all of this. He knows that God is bigger than anything that they could have built for him or constructed. He knows that when he walks out the door of the temple, that God is still there. And he also knows that if the temple were gone the next day, God would still be there. So we've got kind of two different understandings going on here, if you will, that we need to honor God's house, we need to build the temple, we need to set aside a holy place for God. And yet, God is not confined to that place. And if it were gone tomorrow, we would still worship. So if this building were not here tomorrow, you'd get an email telling us where the church is going to meet on Sunday. Because this is not the church. This is the tool the church uses to worship God. This is the temple. This is where we come together to praise and worship God in creating holy space. But realizing that it's all going to pass away one day. That prayer that we said first thing this morning, it's in the Book of Common Prayer, it's proper 20. Grant us, O Lord, not to mind earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, when we are placed among things that are passing away, to cleave to those that shall abide. Because one day all of this is going to be gone. And yet God abides. For some, that means, why do we even need a place like this? Well, they're missing half the message if they were to say that. And then for others, if they don't have a place like this, they can't worship God. Well, they're missing the other half of the message. But we're going to put it all together and embrace the powerful message that God gives through Nathan the prophet to David and to Solomon and to the generations after. Is that God provides, God blesses. So Solomon stands in that place after having fulfilled what God told him to do and then realizes it's not done. It's not done. That is the place of worship, but then the worship has to extend beyond it. Reminds me of St. Francis of Assisi. Truly a very comparable story. If any of you know the story of St. Francis at his conversion, he was a very wealthy young man and really was becoming kind of disillusioned with all of that and realized there had to be more in life. Sat in a ruined church and looked at a cross still hanging in this church, sitting in ruins and disrepair. Matter of fact, there's a San Damiano cross right above the back door there. That's what Francis was gazing upon. And he heard a message clearly from God. It said, Francis, build my church. Didn't get any clearer than that. He heard it. He was turned. He was converted right then and there. And he restored that little chapel to pristine. I mean, fixed every problem, painted everything brand new, nice and shiny, and, you know, the best of everything. And sitting in that chapel when it was all done, knowing that he'd heard God and God said, build my church. He sat there and he gazed upon that cross in this brand new beautiful place. And he heard God say to him, Francis, build my church. And for a moment he looked around and said, I did. God said, Francis, build my church. And then he got it. Now, nothing wrong with that beautiful place of worship and a place of inspiration and a place of respite and all of that, and absolutely necessary. But there was so much more to the message that he had to embrace and that he had to go out and then live. And you can read about Francis of Assisi and hear the rest of the story. So Solomon asked God to bless him still in this prayer and asked for God's forgiveness for his imperfections. God, I've done everything you told me to. And instead of patting himself on the back and saying, isn't that wonderful? He says, when you hear this prayer, forgive me. Because I haven't done it nearly as well. Or I haven't been as faithful as I know I should have been. Thus, we ask God to bless us as we honor this, His house, and as we step forward in faith to do the work He has given us to do. We ask Him to bless us, and when we fail, to forgive. Awesome stuff. Now, what you got to do if you haven't been with us up to this point, I think this message is powerful enough for all of us as God speaks today. But what you got to do is now go listen to parts 1, 2, and 3. You know, they're online, by the way, along with these slides. Put this all together and arrive here. So what will be your answer to God's call? Will you heed the call of Him who did not spare His Son, but gave Him for us all? I shamefully take that line. It's a lyric to a John Michael Card song, I believe. Yes. It's a Christmas song. We'll do it for you at Christmas. What will be your answer? Will you heed the call of Him who did not spare His Son, but gave Him for us all? And back to week one, the way we discern this and the way we go forward in ministry is it takes all of us to make this place work. And the first thing is in showing up. Yeah. I've heard it said many different ways, but, you know, was it Woody Allen? Somebody said, you know, 80% of life is just showing up. Yeah, show up. Now, it's wonderful that you're all here today, and it's great you're all here. But, you know, we need to have our worship and our worshiping community take a notch higher than the other things going on in life. And that's easy for me to say, right? Because I got to be here almost every Sunday. Well, you know what? I also know life happens. I know that there's vacations. I know people get sick. I know those of you that have children have, you know, extra challenges with that. That's your own fault. But, you know, I know that things come up. But when we say, I'm going to make worshiping with my Christian community a priority, then there's a life and a vibrancy, and there's truly strength in numbers as we come together to worship God. That's the first thing. A lot of people, well, you know, I can't give a lot of money. I don't have time to go and clean up at the church. I don't have whatever, you know. Everybody's got a job, hopefully, or, you know, praying for you if you don't, truly. But there are all of these things going on, and I understand that. But don't sell yourself short. Your presence here is a blessing and a gift to everyone else here. Don't get up on Sunday morning and think, well, nobody cares if I show up or not, or it really doesn't matter if I'm there. That's not how God looks at you. It's not how any of us look at you. That's why it's so important to be part of the worshiping family. And honestly, what we're looking forward toward the future is financing a whole lot of money to fix the roof and do maybe a couple of other things around here. But that's just a thing. We need the financial support of everyone who's able to give. Now, interesting, you know, some of the scriptures coming up and some of the things we're going to study is that, you know what, if you give faithfully, it doesn't matter how much, if you're giving faithfully. You know, we embrace the principle of the tithe. Scripture says, give the first fruits of what God has given you. The first 10%. The tenth of your fruits. Give it first to God and then do everything else. And so we embrace that. And we have people that tithe and beyond here in this congregation. But it's not about the amount. It's about the faithfulness. The person who makes $500 a week and gives 50 in the plate is honoring God with a tithe. The person who makes 4,000 a week but puts 100 in the plate isn't there yet. It's not honoring God with the blessings that you've been given. The story of the widow's mite in Mark chapter 12, I believe it's the end of chapter 12, where, you know, people are putting money in the plate and everything, and this poor widow comes in and she puts two little coins in the plate, and they look at her like, that doesn't make any difference. What are you doing that for? And Jesus says, she put in everything she had. She's far more faithful than somebody that just put in a whole fistful of cash because they're never even going to miss it. This place, the practical reality is, I said this last week, Wisconsin Electric sends us a bill every month. I've sent them prayer cards. I have. We are praying for you. Oh, we're praying for you. So here's your bill back. Just keep that. You are on the Wednesday prayer list.
Amen.
Guess what they do? They send the bill back. They send the bill back. Well, we're paying it. You can see so far. Now, actually, one of the guys is upstairs on an exercise bike pedaling his heart out so that these lights stay on while we're here at worship. So, but there's a real practical side of all of this. And God, I think, wants to keep the lights on here. He wants to keep the water flowing. Isn't it wonderful we have an indoor bathroom? Amen. Didn't used to be at this place, I tell you that. That was an addition. I mean, how exciting was that for them? But you know what? You know, a lot of people there, I have heard so many times, well, I won't ever go to church because all they do is talk about money. You know what? Two-thirds of what Jesus talked about was money and how you deal with your money and how God blesses you. Two-thirds of the parables. Because he knew what was going to grab us and what was going to hinder us and what was going to cause us to sin and what was going to pull us away from where God wants us to be. And God says, when you're faithful with that, with what I give you, I'm just going to keep pouring it on, man. Blessing after blessing after blessing. So don't let that scare you. The other thing that I want us all to embrace is a vision for the future. Again, this is not the be-all and end-all. We fix this place up nice and then everybody just sits in here and goes, God, we did such a great job. Because what you're going to hear is, thank you, build my church. And I'm going to try to keep casting that vision so that everybody gets it. And if you get it and you're saying we're hearing this over and over and over again, it's because, you know what, we got to keep casting. We got to keep the vision. We got to embrace the call of Jesus Christ to go forward and make disciples of all nations. And so it's going to be over and over and over again because that's what God wants us to do. We're never done. Because just like Francis, soon as we think we're done, we're going to sit back, relax, put our feet up, and God's going to say, build my church. And if we don't respond to that call, somebody else will. So this is where we end today. This is what I want you to do. I want you to pray about your commitment to the life and ministry of Bread of Life Charismatic Episcopal Church. Because two things are going to happen in the near future. We're going to ask people to consider very prayerfully how they can support this project of the new roof. And we're talking about actually adding a bathroom to this floor so that we can be handicapped accessible with a bathroom. We live in a community that has the largest retirement community in the state of Wisconsin. And when people come here, they can't go to the bathroom if they can't do the stairs. We've talked about this before and talked about it for a long time. Well, now I think God is putting things in place where we're ready to move. And we're going to ask everyone to consider making a gift to that building project, to a new roof and to the bathroom. Doesn't sound really noble and wonderful. You know, well, I want to give a gift, but I want it to be an altar or a stained glass window or whatever. Well, we don't need that. What we need are some very practical things. And then the second thing we're going to ask you to do, and there are some people that will, I should back up, some people that are going to be able to give something initially to that project, and praise God for that. We're going to ask everyone then to look at what we do on an annual basis. Every Sunday or every month or however it is that you end up putting, you know, your gift in the plate. Are you honoring God with a true blessing in accordance with the way He's honored and gifted you? As it's been said by a lot of people, you know, some people just tip God. You know, it's too bad the collection's after the homily, because you know what, if you give a really good one, sometimes there's more in the basket. Well, don't ever let it be based on what you hear from any of us. You want to honor God. You want to honor God. And we're going to ask people to consider very prayerfully what they do on an ongoing basis. Because that's what's going to be the strength of this place. Not a building fund and not all these one-time gifts to pay for things. You know, that's going to be wonderful. But it's our ongoing commitment to the life and witness and the ministry of this place. So here we are today. We're in a time of discernment and prayer, and nobody's being asked to do anything on this day, but we're all being asked to pray and to hear from God. Hear that word like Nathan heard. Nathan heard from God. How do I do this, Lord? And let Him speak to you and hear His word.